When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
How's it going, Ben?
It's going very well. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing all right. We're back here doing our usual podcast thing, so as we always do. But I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
Scott, the Deuce Benjamin.
The Deuce, yeah.
I'm Ben Oil Can Bolin, or from our friend William Cho, also suggest Ben Tenpin Bolin.
Oh, fantastic.
That's
a good one.
Cool,
yeah,
huh?
That's a good one. We've had a few sent in. Mm-hmm. I've neglected to write them down. We're saving them up, though, guys.
We're paying attention.
Yeah, we've got a couple that I should bring in. Some of them are pretty funny.
Yeah.
Good ones. Anyways. Hey, here's something that happened this weekend. Not to be weird about this or anything, but I had a dream.
All right.
And I've mentioned this type of dream to you before.
Okay.
This is not dirty, okay? This is a driving fantasy that I have.
Okay.
And when I say fantasy, I mean I'm dreaming that I'm behind the wheel of a car. Right. And I'm in control of the car, of course, but in this particular dream, I don't know what type of car I'm driving. I just know that I'm the only one left on Earth.
On the entire planet.
On the entire planet. Yeah.
Awesome, man.
And I've had this dream many, many times. Sometimes I know the type of car, sometimes I don't. The latest installment of this, which is this weekend, I don't know what type of car I'm in.
So it's like a reoccurring dream.
It's definitely reoccurring, yeah. It keeps coming back, and I've got this, and I say fantasy because it's like this last man on Earth type of feeling,
right.
like a sci-fi fiction type thing
kind
that's happening.
Kind of post-apocalyptic sort of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, this weekend, I'm clearly in a race car. It's a race car. It's low. It's wide. It's got nothing but switches and dials on the dash, and it's only got a tachometer, and I'm just going all out on the roads.
It's going bananas.
And this is not a race course. I'm always on a public street. I mean, there have been times, I guess, when I've been on a race course, but usually on a public street, and this was another case where I was on a public street, but no one is around. There's no other vehicles around. Desolate. Just wide open.
What time of day?
It was just regular. I mean, middle of the day. I couldn't tell what time exactly. I don't know if it was morning, afternoon, evening. It wasn't like nighttime or anything like that. But it's a blast, first of all. It's a lot of fun. And I do think about this when I'm out on my weekend drives, you know, if I go out in the country or something. But I've had this often. And you know what? Now that you pointed out, never at night. It's never a nighttime scene.
Huh. Okay. Well, I point that out because this is a brief promo. Maybe a demonstration, if you will. Scott, you know, the economy's kind of bad, so we're all trying to diversify and make ends meet. And I'd like to welcome you to Oil Can's House of Crazy Discount Psychological Analysis.
Fantastic. Is this like peanuts where I have to pay you a nickel?
We're still working on the name, but
the
business model, yeah.
Oh, very good. Okay.
So it's never at night. You have it on a... How often would you say?
You know, I've never kept track of how often it happens, but
just recognize when
you know
it happens.
What I would say, just ballpark once every 2 months.
Weird.
That's often.
Pretty frequent,
and it's usually a point of view type dream where I see Like as I'm driving,
you see your hands on the wheel. And
precisely,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Weird. And that's why, like in this last one, I have no idea what kind of car I was in because I was inside it the entire time.
Yeah.
And driving, I could tell you what it sounded like. I could tell you what it felt like, but I couldn't tell you what type of vehicle it was specifically. And I've had other ones where you know I'm around the car. It's a whole dream. That, you know, I'm around the vehicle and it's happening. But
yeah.
Not the case with this one. And like I said, every 2 months or so is when it happens. And I'm kind of blaming that I watch a lot of these point of view racing videos.
You know, that'll do it.
Like
that'll
Pikes Peak. I'll watch the record run at Pikes Peak.
Yeah.
I'll watch you know, someone trying to break the time speed record at the Green Mile, or the Green Monster, rather. Green Mile, that'd be something else. The no, the Green Monster, you know, so the Nürburgring. Mm. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what to attribute this to, but one point about it, though, is I've got these last man on earth type ideas that the public roads are wide open to me.
I would love that.
I would absolutely love to have this happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you, man. I've had a dream since I was about 7 or 8 years old. I've had a recurring dream where I wake up and nobody else is on the planet. Really? And I wasn't in a car because, you know, they started before I could drive.
Yeah.
But it was just awesome.
You know, there's a series of movies that are based around this, and it started with a novel.
Yes.
You do know about this.
I am a huge fan of post-apocalyptic stuff.
Really?
Yes. So tell these people.
Well, you probably know about this then. In 1954, there was a novel called I Am Legend.
By Richard Matheson.
Exactly. Very good, Ben. And 1954 was the release of this novel, a sci-fi horror picture, because post-apocalyptic... in 1964, there was a movie made with starring Vincent Price, and it was called The Last Man on Earth. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen this movie or the next one I'm going to talk about, which is The Omega Man.
I own a copy and we'll bring it to you.
You have a copy of The Omega Man?
I have
Man?
A copy of it.
Is it? Tell me. It's from 1971.
Right.
Is there a lot of driving in The Omega Man?
There is some driving, but it's not full of driving. A lot of it involves them being basically, not to ruin it, the people who are regular people move around during the day.
It's been out for almost 40 years, so
you're right, fair enough.
You could probably spoil it.
Okay, so Charlton Heston is a human being and he survives this this cataclysmic event that changes some of the people. And these people that are changed are very chalky white and have sores, and they're kind of crazy, of course, because they're the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they only move around at night, and they hate technology. Mm-hmm. And Charlton Heston bands together with some other survivors, and they move around in the day. And so there is some driving in it,
mm-hmm.
but he's mainly, for a lot of the movie, he's staying in the same locale.
Okay.
Which is totally different from what I would do, man. I would drive as far as away as I could from these weird albino mutant people.
Yeah, but where are you going to go? That's the point. Like
someplace where they don't hate technology, Scott.
I guess. I hate technology. I'm sitting right across from you.
You hate technology?
Sort of.
We'll talk
about that.
We're not going to hang out when the S hits the F, man.
In some instances, I do. We'll put it that way.
So post-apocalyptic.
Yeah,
the Omega
Man. There's a couple more. I've mentioned this one before.
What's that one?
The Last Chase.
The Last Chase. The Last Chase. Mentioned. Yeah.
Lee Majors, 1981. Got a picture of the car here that I can show you.
Yeah.
Which
does
no one else any good, but it's a Porsche 917-10.
And
that's the car that he is on the run trying to get to Free California, where you know the government isn't imposing this no cars restriction, and he's not being chased by Burgess Meredith in a fighter jet. Remember that whole story?
Yes, I remember you telling me about
crazy,
it.
Crazy story. But it's full of, you know, last man on earth type of stuff. He's not, but he's the last. It's the last car on earth, really, and it's trying to get all the way across the country.
You know, the one I really like. I got to interrupt you just in case you take it from me before I get to say it. Mad Max.
Really
love. Yeah, the whole shebang. Yeah. All three of them. Road Warrior, Beyond Thunderdome, I don't care. Love the idea because he's able to drive through this essentially desolate place that's only filled with crazies.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know some people are objecting and saying, what about those kids? Sorry, the kids were crazy too, obviously.
Scoundrels and bandits.
Scoundrels, bandits, ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah.
and then the one last remaining lawman. I would love to do that.
Mm-hmm. What about maybe the most recent version of this, which I think is I Am Legend, which is, of course,
yes,
based on the book itself. Yeah. But there's an opening sequence where he's driving through the city of New York. And right. Or was it Manhattan? I don't know where it was exactly. I can't remember. But I don't know. Striking scene. It was pretty good, I thought. And the problem with that one is, though, he's in the city where, you know, like the water pumps have begun to fail. So the underpasses are full of water and other cars. There's cars that litter the street. There's a lot of, you know, stuff in the way. My dreams always seem to happen where I'm out in the countryside or on large highways where there's just nothing around, where I'm able to, you know, make the most of corners where, you know, high speed, just I'm not worried about colliding with anything else other than possibly, you know, a deer or something like that to map out. But never the case. Never have to, again, in my dream, never have to swerve around any of that stuff.
Well, that's interesting because as a non-licensed, ill-informed, semi-professional psychiatrist in this podcast, I could tell you that that probably means there's a sense of freedom. It's obviously a happier dream. Hmm. You know, it's not like you're there with the last edges of sunlight dying on the horizon.
No.
Trying to get around the flooded underpass.
You know? No, this is pure pleasure. This is all driving, and there's no bad ending to it. There's no there's no reason that I'm on the run or anything like that.
Right, right.
It just so happens that there's no one else on the road, and I'm able to just do what I want.
Do you have music on?
You know, no, I don't think so. It's just the sound of the engine.
Not
it's
even
always,
Final Countdown?
I'm trying to think, you know. no Final Countdown, no. The thing is that I do this on my own, too, anyways. I often turn the radio off and just listen to the sound of the road, the engine. I've always liked that.
Oh, which, by the way, we should put that, we should emphasize that for listeners. It is always a good idea to take a second, turn off your radio, and listen to your car.
Yeah,
real life or not.
I've had cars without radios. Really?
Wow.
You're shaking your head like you don't believe me. But
no, I believe you. I'm just surprised.
Yeah, I had one that I just removed it because it wasn't
you just
good
took
to begin with.
Like,
yeah, I just took it out.
It
another
had a
one
radio,
didn't
and
have
you took
one.
It out.
Yeah, and then others that I just turn off because, you know, I prefer the car sound.
I've got a crazy car dream for you.
Okay.
This is the only recurring car dream that I ever have, and I think you might laugh, and it's okay if you do. So when I first started driving, there was this very, very steep and large hill in my neighborhood, and about every 6 months or so, I still have dreams about trying to get up that hill and failing miserably, because when I was driving a stick, you know, for the first time, and then there's that part where the clutch was already slippery, and I was stuck on the incline, and I'm trying to shift, and it's just not working. And there's that lurching feeling where you start to roll backwards, and that, my friend, is why y'all will never go on Pikes Peak.
Did this really happen, or is this something you just okay? Does this really happen?
It's a crazy hill, dude.
And then you had a dream about it happening again and again and again.
Yes.
Oh, no
yes.
kidding.
Yeah.
So the fear has some kind of basis for you.
Heights don't bother me. Hills. Don't care
so
for
that
them.
You're probably right. That's probably why you're afraid to drive uphill fast.
I don't like to use the word afraid. I like to use the word aware. I am aware of hills.
I'll put you down for being afraid. Now, listen, there's some things that I kind of found out. Hearsay, maybe. Let's just say that.
Hearsay.
These are things that could happen, I guess. Do you recall a program called, it was on the History Channel, it's called Life After People?
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of went back and looked at some of the Life After People stuff and realized why maybe my clear road fantasy may not happen or may never happen. Number one, why would I be the last person left on Earth? That's kind of crazy to begin with.
Let's kind of bracket that one.
Yeah. But here's the reality of this. And when I say reality, this is the projected reality based on that show. And I don't know how much of this was just sensationalized or what, but
this is guesstimation.
Yeah, guesstimation. But I could really see this happening. There's a couple of little reasons along the way. But
I love this stuff. Lay it on me, man.
After about 1 year, they said that in this program again, they said that weeds would begin to appear in the roads. They would start to grow through the cracks in the highways and on just surface streets.
That would make sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. And what happens then is the weeds then break down year after year, and they begin to form a layer of topsoil on the road. Just scattered, and you know they may gather up some dust and you know whatever, but it does build a small thin layer of topsoil. Clover then starts to take over, and clover starts to grow over the roads. And not only that, you're going to have vines that are growing over it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know after storms how often a road will be blocked by a tree falling
right.
across it.
That'll happen.
That happens. You know, just routine maintenance stuff will happen. I mean, signs will fall because of lack of maintenance. You know, they won't be painted and
sure.
things like that. But so that's one thing is that, you know, by about 5 years, they say that almost the entire roadway or every roadway way would be just nothing but a layer of grass. About 5 years it would take is what is their projected state that 5 years it would take for the roadways to be covered with a covering of grass.
So for how many decades have people been building roads?
If you doubt this, I mean, now you may say that's crazy, that won't happen, but I want you to take a look at, and I remember these photos from the war years in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay.
Look at the Indianapolis 500 racetrack, because there was a time during the war where the Indianapolis 500 racetrack was abandoned, and it was just left unused because they didn't race there, they didn't do anything. It was just, you know, everything was focused on the war.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some outstanding photographs of the brickyard, which was, you know, truly was bricks at the time.
Yeah.
Weeds coming through that are waist high all over the brickyard. So if you can imagine that 2.5 mile track covered in bricks first to begin with, but also with, you know, waist high weeds throughout the entire thing, it's really amazing. It's unbelievable to see. It's like when you see an old maybe an outdoor stadium that's been left, you know, just left alone, and the weeds grow to, you know, 6 feet high.
Yeah.
It's similar in appearance. And at first, the ones that I saw were sporadic and they were spaced out, but you could see areas where the grass was definitely coming on top of the bricks.
So what I hear you saying is that if it ever ends up being the case that you are, you know, the only person left on the earth or the only person left in the United States,
mm-hmm.
you know, you'd have to get all the good rides in a year.
Yeah,
tops.
Exactly. A year would be about all you'd have. And then you would have to, I guess you would have to maintain the roads yourself, which, come on, you can't do that. And not at any scale like we're talking.
Get an ATV, dude. That's the
yeah, that's
future.
Right. Well, see, that's the thing. Then you change your vehicles and move on. But
yeah.
it's not this never-ending, you know, driving fantasy that I've have, you know, that,
yeah.
that you know, you'd be able to do this for years and years and years. It just wouldn't work that way. It would after about a year, you would come across these weeds and then clover mm-hmm. and then grass. And, you know, after that, then you've got other serious problems like, you know, the road being obstructed by trees and,
mm-hmm.
and signs and things that have fallen, bridges that have fallen.
Yeah.
Maintenance would just be awful. So we're non-existence, really. Or non-existent.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a good fantasy to have that, you know, you can think about it. And it's a lot of fun. I really like that. But I know that it's not entirely possible now.
We can never say never.
Yeah,
I guess technically you said not entirely possible.
I mean, do you think that's probably a little strange dream? But I mean, I live and breathe this stuff all the time, so I guess it makes sense that I'm thinking about it all the time.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love driving far enough out of the city to not be around other cars,
mm-hmm.
which takes a while, but you can find those places.
Yeah,
and no, it's totally.
Like
maybe we're both crazy.
I like
know.
It too. Sometimes the only witness to my best driving
mm-hmm.
is like a horse in a pasture somewhere.
Oh, horses are such haters though.
Yeah.
They're such hateful animals.
Especially
yeah, when it comes to cars.
That's what you need though. You need that wide open space to be able to do what you want to do sometimes. And
yeah.
Within reason.
Let me as defense. If you want, I've got a listener mail that shows just how bad it is to be around other cars.
Okay, great. Let's hear it.
All right, now I'm going to do an apology in advance, Scott. I'm not sure how to pronounce this name, so I'll spell it and make a guess. You do the same?
Fair enough.
All right, spelled D-I-A-D-R-A. I would say Deidra?
I would say Deidra.
Deidra, okay. If we have got your name wrong, please forgive us. So she writes in and says, hi, High Speed Stuff guys. I just listened to your podcast, Driving Pet Peeves. I've lived in China for going on 2 years now, and you could not pay me to drive here. It's insane. And she says, if you can imagine a world where street lights, street signs like one way and do not enter, even the lines on the road are merely suggestions. That's my world. Pedestrians do not have the right of way. Everyone's out for his or herself. There's no common courtesy. The only way to get around is by cutting people off. people are tolerant of bad driving because there are no good drivers. And let's see, I was paraphrasing there.
Where has this been?
This is in China, in Shenzhen.
Okay.
Shenzhen. And says that people are driving on the sidewalk.
Driving on what?
Yeah.
Driving on the sidewalk in cars. In or are we talking like rickshaw? Probably cars, right?
Yeah.
Must be cars.
Yeah. No place that is even barely car accessible is safe. It seems people just use horns to say hi or want to ride or I'm here, and it drives me insane.
Oh, that would kill me.
Because I know you hate a horn.
I hate horns.
So anyway, I just thought this would be nice to show a little bit of aggravation on behalf of someone who's in a completely opposite situation than the one in which you dream of.
Yeah, so. I guess so. I mean, that would be just unnerving, I guess, to even, like, I think I remember reading that she said it's like a, you know, like a sport trying to cross the street or something like that.
Yeah.
That it's you know, a matter of life and death.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of crazy. I've seen stuff like that on, you know, just video. I've never been to a city that's quite like that.
Yeah.
But, man, that sounds awful.
Yeah, you know, you give me a hard time. Listeners, you guys will enjoy this. Scott gives me a hard time. Sometimes he busts my chops because I've been trying to learn Chinese. Mm. And I want to visit China.
Yeah.
I think you may have heard that smug half chuckle that Scott let out.
No, he's actually doing very well.
Oh, thanks, man. You're the best. But I'm kind of worried now about the driving.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Driving in China might not be my thing, dude.
You may have to go uphill fast.
I may have to go uphill fast.
That'd be the worst for you, apparently.
Yeah, so we're going to wrap up this one. If you guys have any responses or any other very strange driving dream stories, if you think we're crazy or if you think we're the only other sane people know.
Wait. Think we're crazy?
I'm just, it sounded good.
Oh my gosh, that's a wide open door.
All right, don't write in if you think we're crazy. But with anything else, please send us an email at
highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
If you haven't heard, it's a good idea to fit probiotics into your daily routine. Fortunately, Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls make that so easy. These adorable little pearls couldn't be easier to take, and they support both digestive and vaginal health, all because of the probiotics. There are actually 1 billion active cultures protecting against occasional bloating, constipation, and digestive discomfort, all in one tiny little pearl. To learn more about Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls and how they can fit into your routine, visit naturesway.com.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the Dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.